What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another amazing edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. It is Wednesday, and on Wednesdays, our job is to give you practical solutions to the problems you have. As a dentist, do you ever think to yourself, where are all my profits? I'm trying to find out where all this money is going. And there are some things that you're overlooking. There's actually four profit drains you're completely overlooking. And today, we're going to tell you exactly what they are with an amazing coach. Her name is Robin Tyson, and she walks us through all four so that you don't miss them and you have more profits at the end of the month. So please listen up. Hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. Do you ever look at your P&L statement and think, where's all the money? Or you look at your bank statement and you're like, where's all the money? Or you're just like, I need some cash and there's no money. And it happens. It happens when you're a business owner. It happens when you're a dentist. And so what we're going to talk about today is, how do you not do that? Like, where does all this profit go? I feel like I'm producing more. I feel like I got more technology. I got more training than ever. But there should be a lot of money left over, and there's not. And it is now May. Well, I don't know when you're going to listen to this podcast, but most of you have finished paying taxes. And that's very interesting, too, because you write this big check, if you haven't already, to the IRS. And you're like, for what? I'm like giving away what I have left. I've been there. And so today we're going to talk about how you can think differently and do this differently. We're going to be talking about the four profit drains you are overlooking so you can have money left over at the end of the month with an amazing coach, Robin Tyson. So Robin, thanks for being here. I always appreciate you.
Oh, it's always a good time. Another good topic.
It's always a good time. Robin's an amazing coach and she's brilliant. And so I want you to share with the listeners, like, this is what we do. We're coaches. We coach great practices all over. But this isn't like a one in every 30 practices. Like, this is something that's a thread with even the best practices we coach, right? Tell us the why. Why is this so important?
Yeah, I mean, yes, I hear this all the time. And it's really, yes, there, you know, it's a business. So the money, of course, it matters. It's really about having control, though, and really knowing what goes in and out of your practice and being able to make better decisions based on information you have and being able to make better decisions about your team, your investments, all of those things. And so it's really important to know, understand it all.
Yeah. And so you've probably heard the theme of gaps from us. And this was designed by Dr. Barrett Straub, who is our CEO. And really what it is it's the most transparent way to see a dental practice as far as financially you could possibly look at a dental practice. It tracks potential production from gross production to number of days worked to all the way down to what's really left after loan payments and tax payments. Now, I know what you're thinking if you're listening to this. I got a P&L statement. Well, a P&L statement only gives you part of the story. It doesn't tell you what your gross production was, doesn't tell you what your loan payments were, or what your tax payments. And no one, and I mean no one, has ever run a dental practice alone on a profit and loss statement. Now, it is valuable, but it doesn't tell you how to run the business. So can you break this down? Like, help me understand this, Robin.
I've talked to doctors as in, you know, while I've been coaching, and so many of them say, well, like, I feel like I'm working really hard. I'm burnt out at the end of the day. Like, I'm busy and my hygiene's overflowing and I still have no money in my bank account. So it's like, how does that happen? Where do I look? And so it is, the GAPS has really helped to put those things into perspective to really to be able to look and figure that out.
Yeah.
You know, it's stressful running a business and you want to know where the dollars are and want to be profitable.
Yeah. And why should it matter to me? Like, if you're listening to this podcast, like, tell me why I would even care about listening to what they have. What do Kirk and Robin have to say that I would even care? Why?
I think that so much of part of this is freedom, right? There right. is the freedom of, you talk all the time about the number of days that you want to work, the freedom of being able to decide, I want to spend more time with my family, the freedom to be able to invest in technology, the freedom to be able to practice the way that you want to, because you can make great decisions based on valuable information.
Yeah, so well said. And this isn't just about money, you know, talk about closing these gaps, because we're going to take you through these gaps. But here's what I want you to understand, if you're listening, is like, every time we tighten up this gap, it adds one more dollar of profit to the bottom line. But it's really not about money. It's about taking back control of your life, mm-hmm. you know? And the truth of it is dentists are working harder than ever, but your bank account doesn't reflect it. We're seeing dentists work now crazy amount of days and writing off tons of dentistry, and they still have no money. And you feel stuck no matter what. What else, Robin?
Yeah. I think knowledge is power, right? So the more knowledge you have, and you're referring to the different gaps and deciding which dial you need to turn, that's going to impact what's most important to you. It's about knowing and understanding and being able to make decisions based on the information you have.
Totally. And running a business it's hard. I don't care what anybody says.
It's stressful.
You carry that stress. You try to compartmentalize. Mm-hmm. I try to be a great dad all the time. But I'll tell you, when the business isn't working well, I wear it. It creates anxiety. It's, you know, it's one of those things where you carry the weight and the responsibility on this. And it does affect the freedom that you want in dentistry. Yeah. So
the anxiety that comes with not knowing about your cash flow or not having the money to do things, like the anxiety that comes with that, being running a business is hard. So adding that on top of it adds to the complexities of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're missing out on the freedom when you've dreamed of being a practice owner. This is the United States of America. Dentistry is an amazing profession because you can pick the hours, you can pick the way to practice, you can choose the style of practice, you can pick who you want to work with, you can choose who you want to work on, and every little bit of that goes away, you feel trapped. And so it's not just about the numbers, it's about having options. And so where do we start, Robin?
So first start this, the effort gap. And the effort gap is the difference between the effort that you put in to produce and what the actual results are. So if you think about it, you know, it's essentially gross production to net production. So the difference between there is your effort gap. How much effort did it take for you to produce that outcome?
Yeah. And so that can include number of days working. So we talk about this all the time. I think if you're listening to this, go to the office today, if you're driving to work, and figure out how many days you work. It's probably less than 5% of dentists know how many days they work. Now, according to the ADA Health Policy Institute, the average dentist works 220 days, which is a crazy amount of days. We're now finding people in dentistry and great practices, people that are working north of 220, 230, 240. I even found somebody that was working 250 days. That is too many days. And the gap in the effort gap is getting wider. I say it all the time, but people are writing off as much as 42, 43%. And Robin, it's not unusual for us to see 50% write-offs in some cases, right?
Oh, I mean, yes, you see it all the time. I mean, like I look at it and I think, like, your heart breaks for these people. Like, it is not right to be writing off that much money and the effort that it takes to do that. There's got to be a way to shrink that gap and make the effort gap smaller.
Yeah. And I've been doing this.
So 40 to 50% is not uncommon.
Here I go with me being the old guy that's been around forever. And so, okay. So 31 years of doing this. I mean, mm-hmm. if you had a 20 some percent write-off prior to COVID, that was insane. Like, it was way too much. If anyone's listening to this, you remember the Kodak study? The Kodak study, I had a printed copy of that. And we would talk about like how discounts impact your business and how you have to produce that much more. Well, this is the Kodak study times 10. And it's just getting out of control. And the challenge is when dentists sign up for one PPO, they're not really signing up for one. They're signing up for multiple PPOs. And they don't understand that. And before you know it, the phone rings, floods your practice, floods your schedule. And then you come up for air and you go, why am I working so hard but not making any money? And every month that you don't pay attention to, that gap in effort gets bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm not an expert on burnout. I never claimed to be. But when you're working more days for less, I have to believe that makes you feel worse, not better, you know?
Yes.
So,
yeah.
And at night,
when you're burnt up by Monday night and you look at your bank account and there's nothing to go and you still have 3 days left in the week, that's hard.
Yeah. The Monday nights, people always talk about the Sunday night test. Let's talk about the Monday night test. The Monday night test is when you go to California Pizza Kitchen with your family because you're like, we're not cooking tonight. I want that corner table over there. And then the server comes over, but not fast enough. You're like, okay, you got to get up, buddy. You got to move faster. And you're like, hey, we'll get them some appetizers, but can I have a glass of Pinot Noir before we even start? If you've ever been there, you're like, wow. And the server's like, dude, it's Monday night. Do you want the 6 ounce pour or the 9 ounce? You're like, 9 ounce. Woo. Now I'm joking, but I'm not joking because you're taking you're trying to take the edge off on a Monday. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
I've been there. So that's not a great start to the week. But in an ideal world, what are we trying to do in this gap?
Well, you know, we've talked about this before. I've never seen an office that has zero gap, right? So if there are adjustments that you're making, whether it's for a, you know, senior discount, any of those kinds of things, or there's going to be some adjustments. The best practices that we have seen, or, you know, the most profitable clients that we have around 10%. So the goal would be to decrease it and get it closer to 10%.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit different for every practice, right? I mean, different markets, different practice styles. Not everybody's looking to be a fee-for-service practice. It's really about finding the right balance for you and adjusting it to what makes the most sense for your practice.
100%. You can't say that enough, Ram. It's like, this is not about being out of network or completely fee-for-service. But if you're writing off 50% or even 40% as a whole, and you can get to 20%, you have made remarkable progress. Oh. And I guarantee you're adding more profitable dollars. And then you're going to get to 10%, and you still may be in network, but here's the difference. With 10%, I'm choosing who to give those discounts to. I'm choosing the school teacher or the policeman or the fireman or the clergyman or my family member or family member of a team member. What you're doing when you don't have that low of write-offs is you're giving discounts to every single patient for the volume. And so that's tough. And so I think the first part is just being aware. And we find it with our clients, like, just figure out the number of days and write-offs. And that inherently alone is challenging. So give us some action steps in the effort gap. Like, tell me what to do.
Yeah. So we talked about awareness. And one of the things that I see with some of our teams is that they are not billing their full fee. So when we start to really get into the effort gap and start looking at these, they're shocked that they're writing off 40 or 50%. So the first step is knowing it. So always bill your full fee. If you ever heard Ariel, that's her mantra, is bill your full fee. And then we do have a report in the BPA that is, it's a quick start to PPO freedom. And there are some action items that will walk you through different ways to get an idea of what's happening in your practice and where could you make some adjustments.
Yeah.
So bill your full fee and then start really looking at your patient segments and how could you make some changes to adjust that effort gap.
Absolutely. So I just want to piggyback, bill your full fee for everybody, including your cash paying patients and your PPO patients, so that when you do move away from PPOs, they don't say, wow, your crown fee went from $795 to $1,500. No, you were always showing them that number. And that's the first piece. And then I love what you said, the PPO Freedom Quick Start course. You guys, you can go back on the Best Practices Association app. You can find it on Google or Apple, and you can download, you can do this course for free. It can get you started on the awareness process. So if you're like, I don't know what to do, do that. Nothing's easier than free. That's why we put it back there. So make sure you check that out. So, okay. So that's the effort gap. If you guys can think, if you're driving, don't take notes. We're taking notes for you. It's the potential. It's the production at the top and number of days write-offs, all those things. And now we're going to get to the next gap. What's gap number two?
Gap number two is the collections gap. Okay. So this is now we got, so we've the effort gap, we've got to net production. So the collection gap is the difference between your net production and your net collections. So if net production is everything that is collectible, because you've already made the adjustments, what percentage are you actually collecting on a monthly basis?
Yeah, but so we,
that's looking at the collection gap.
But Robin, we collect everything. That's what mm-hmm. everyone says. So
they do.
Now think about this. Like, this is what happens in most practices. You have a really good person up front or well-intended person. And, you know, we're producing $100,000 a month, or our net production is $100,000 a month, but we're only bringing in like $95,000 or $90,000. So you're leaving $10,000 on the table. So if your net, if your collections is at 95%, that is not good. People think, well, that's good. No, it's not. Your collections, you should collect 100%, if not more than what is collectible. Do you agree with that?
100%. Oh. And that is my goal for all my teams, is 100% collections, and you're 100% accurate. That is, that should be the goal. If you've produced it, collect it.
Right.
So, and, you know, I do tell my teams, you know, 95% is usually an A. In this case, I would not say that's an A. The 95% can be misleading in that it's a great percentage. We're almost there. In the example you gave with the $100,000, that's $5,000 that you've left on the table for that month times 12. Now we're out to $60,000 at the end of the year that you've produced and you haven't collected on.
Yeah. And I would say
that's a big amount of money.
Again, this is, I don't have the research to be able to support this, but this is also where that's just the tip of the iceberg. Because if your net collections is at 95%, you're also, there's a little bit of poverty mentality or a fear around money. We find with our best collectors, they're at 100% or if not more, because the dentist is getting better. And so it's always great. And Barrett mentioned this at the last TTT. It was always great to run at a negative receivables, meaning you're collecting more. You're actually owing patients dentistry. Now, it's not about the money, but when that starts to happen, you're going to see that creates really good follow through for appointments. It's really weird. But when the money's collected earlier in the process, there's less challenges, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, you have less cancellations and no-shows. I think too, where we don't have solid financial arrangements, that can be a negative impact on the patient relationship. If we've set them up where they don't know what they've been expecting to pay, or they didn't pay on time, like that creates some animosity or some hard times in relationships with patients. So being clear and kind and being upfront is so important.
Yeah, totally. I never thought about this. I always like to talk about a cruise, because taking your first cruise, if you ever taken a cruise, they never say, go on the boat. You look like a nice person. I never thought about this, but cruises work on negative receivables all the time. Like, you're paying for everything and it's 2 months from now. You're like, they got my money. Yeah. I guess I better go, you know?
Right. Yes, absolutely.
And so it's really important that you have a healthy framework. And it's, and again, I can't say this enough, it's not about money. It's about healthy practices in your dental practice. And we have a great system called Managing Accounts Receivable. It's a resource in the BPA. Your receivables should go down over time and you should be collecting 100%. And it becomes a very, very solid way to build a great practice long-term. So anything else you would add before we go to the next one?
You know, I tell my teams, you don't have a collections problem, you have a financial arrangements problem. Mm. And so it's really not about the collections, it's about setting up, it's having, you know, clear, firm financial arrangements from the very beginning. And when you have that, I find that your collections will fall in line.
Yeah. And in all fairness, if you're a team member listening, I know sometimes when we talk about advice or best practices, you always, or you might hear it that, oh, the team member's not doing their job. I'll say this because admin team members, I have a special place in my heart. There's not a lot of great training out there. You know, a lot of times they're just thrown into their roles, expected to do this, and then the doctor becomes unhappy. And so if you're a dentist or an admin team listening to this, There are great resources back in the Best Practices Association, but the truth of it is as an industry as a whole, you're not going to go to an amazing financial arrangements course where you're like, wow, I just totally learned how to do this from a master, because those people are working in dental practices, not necessarily teaching those practices. So
yeah,
good stuff.
And you know, collections is a team sport. Everybody has a role in it. It's not, it gets ultimately, it is at the front desk and every person on the team plays a role in it.
Yeah. I love it. Love it.
Yeah.
So that's gap number, where are we at? That's gap number two. So gap number three, what's gap number three?
So gap number three is the overhead gap. Ooh. So this is the difference of what you should be spending in your practice and what you actually are spending in your practice. So it's looking at those expenses, the money going out of the practice, and what your ratio of that, you know, your percentage of collections, how does that fit in? Is that a healthy number, or do we need to make some adjustments to where expenses are going?
Yeah. Now, you've been doing this not as long as I have, but you've been in this game long, and your dad owned an amazing practice, and so does your brother. So you know how this conversation went. I'm kind of mad at myself for years. So again, way back in the old days, 20 years ago, everyone would compare overhead. What's your overhead? 72%. What's yours? 65%. My overhead's 55%. And for the most part, it kind of was an apples to apples type of thing. Then your next question was, what do you collect? Now the overhead thing is totally different. Just because your buddy has a 60% overhead and you have a 60% overhead, it means nothing. That doesn't tell me anything. And so I do get these questions. I'm sure you get them, Robin. It's like, what's a healthy team compensation percentage? Well, I can tell you as a whole on a really good practice, but like that might be different if you're heavy PPOs. Right. Like if you're a heavy PPO and heavy hygiene practice, a team compensation percentage might be up as high as 35, 40%, which means it's eating all of your profits, you know? To share with me your perspective on how overhead has changed as far as a percentage goes over time.
Well, I think, you know, one of the first things is it's a percentage of collections. So if your collections gap are off, your overhead is going to be impacted by that. So understanding that piece of it makes an impact too. And so, yes, your numbers can look off. And if I go from 95 to 100%, that changes my overhead. So is it, you know, there is a factor of the other gaps within that overhead. I am seeing more and more that, you know, payroll or your team compensation is anywhere in that 25 to 30%. It's like closer to 30% now is really what I see for the typical dental practice. And I see plenty that it's over that. So then the conversation becomes, do I need to produce more? Do I have too many people? You know, there's a number of areas that you can look to really address those overhead things.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, you know, we do have a supply, you know, an overhead tracker in BPA, but here's what I'd recommend is number one, figure out what your overhead is. No matter what, and at least track it on a monthly basis. Again, being aware, this is so fun for me because one of the things that I notice, and Robin, I'm sure you, is dentists will start doing this and they'll go, I don't know why I spend that much money on this. They're like, what is, and I'm like, well, I don't know. It's your practice. They didn't even know they were spending that kind of money. The other thing to understand is that when your team compensation is too high, let's say it's in its 30s, I can already tell, I don't need to meet you. I don't even need to know where you practice. But when your team compensation is creeping up to 33, 34%, everyone is unhappy. Your team members are unhappy, they're overworked, and you're unhappy because you have no money. And it isn't because you're overpaying people. That's what most dentists think. They're like, well, my team compensation is 34%, I'm overpaying. No, you're not. You're not collecting enough to support the payroll for a healthy business. So that's why you need a good coach. That's why you need good financial And what you do is you get mad about payroll. Payroll becomes an angry expense.
Yeah.
Now, nobody signs payroll checks anymore because they're all digitally. But I remember in the old days, we used to joke when you had signed, like, is the pen bending when you're signing those checks? Some of you that are listening to this, remember the pen was bending. They're like, I can't even sign this. So we don't want you to do that. And so when you start to see these creep up, it's a function of thinking better about your business. Again, Robin's talking through the gaps. If you're writing off a lot, that's one challenge. Now you have less to play with or less to collect. And you're not collecting at all. Now you have even less to play with, but you're still equipping your practice with all of these people that you got to pay. So it's important to have healthy measures from top to bottom. Anything else you'd add about overhead gap?
Yeah, I think one of the big, like if you're one of the ways that one of the things to look at is the your dental supplies and lab bills. I see that commonly high. And it's usually because people aren't, they're not tracking it, or they're not budgeting it and just ordering whatever needs to be. So I hesitate to use the word easy, but it is one of the easier overhead metrics that you can impact by you mentioned this, our dental supply budget worksheet or dental supply budget tracker. And that gives us a budget every month. It gives us a place to start. And that is one of the dials that can be easier to turn with the help of your team.
Yeah. Because if you don't have a budget, it'll run wild. If any of you have raised teenage daughters, you know they don't have a budget. They just keep spending. And yes. So it's no different in your dental practice. You have to have a budget for what people can spend on a monthly basis. And we're not talking about just buying cheap supplies. That's not it at all.
But you know, do you have excess of it? Do we order it just to order it? I mean, there are ways to cut down when you are tracking and, you know, what you measure gets impacted. So. Yeah.
Absolutely. So if you're listening along, it's the effort gap, then we have the collections gap, then we have the overhead gap. And what's gap number four?
So gap number four is the cash flow gap. And what this is this is really essentially where your P&L ends and we stop looking at things. And so it's where the difference between your gross profit and what actually hits your account. So this is usually the gap where people say, but my P&L says I have X amount of dollars. Why do I not have this in my checking account? And this is where that money falls into.
Yeah.
And it's typically not something that practices follow.
No, it isn't. This is like the most hidden opportunity for dentists is to really understand this. Number one, when you get started, if you're like me, you're going to take on debt. I remember I had a credit line. I was so excited to get this credit line because it allowed us to do these things. And then I started paying it back and I didn't understand why I didn't reduce my liabilities. And my accountant's like, No. That's not a deductible expense. And I'm like, why not? I'm paying it every single month. And it's important. You'll see that in the cash flow gap. The other thing too, this will happen to you if you guys have ever listened to me talk. We have so many dentists that come and they're like, well, I have an accountant and I'm looking at my P&L and at the bottom, it says $375,000 at the bottom of my P&L. And my accountant has assured me I'm in the top 5% of dentists in the United States. And then you say to your accountant, but I have no money. And the dentist says, or the accountant goes, you're doing great. And you go, I have no money. And they're like, you're doing great. And if you like flashy things and you love technology and you're like, and you love that whole statement, it's one more crown a month, this payment type of a thing. It's really easy for you to say yes to all this technology that doesn't show up in your P&L. But it's hitting you hard in the cash flow statement and you're building it in hopes of it. It's all going to go away and we're going to make money someday. So I'm just here to say this. You have to know what's beyond the P&L. And what Robin's talking about is what happens in the cash flow gap, which includes, again, your loans, your tax payments, other distributions. Or if you're like me early in my career, I was like, oh, I just needed some money this month. You know what I mean? It's Christmas.
Yeah.
I got to pull out some money for, you know, a trip and all these other things. So you just, you know, so you got to be careful about that. What else should we know about that last gap?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the big things that we see is the tax piece of it, or the, you know, the quarterly and annual taxes that are not always taken into consideration. So knowing what those amounts may be and budgeting for those is a really important part of that cash flow gap. Knowing what your loan payments are. You know, I'll see a lot of P&Ls that have an interest payment, and then I see nothing about the loan payment. It's like, well, if you're paying interest, there's got to be a loan somewhere, and we're not accounting for that. So it's those expenses that fall under that P&L line that we do need to take into consideration because it's cash flow going out.
That's so true. And then what about cash reserves? You should always have cash reserves, right?
You know, I mean, in an ideal world, our recommendation is that you would have at least 1 month's operating expenses and reserves at all times. So if that, you know, that's the goal in working towards something, when you're looking at your true profit, that would be the goal, is to have at least 1 month's operating expenses. then, you know, that goes back to the freedom part, right? Being able to make choices and decisions that you want to make based on the freedom of knowing what your finances are and being in a position to make those.
Yeah, absolutely. And on top of it, you'll see your business will eat all of the cash you leave in the account. Yes. So once it falls to the cash flow gap, it's important to get it out of there. I like the idea of paying taxes on it and getting it out and just having it earmarked for that. But that requires a whole bunch of discipline. And that's hard. I'm going to say it's hard. So it's outstanding. So Robin, give us some final thoughts on this. This is a lot. And so if you guys are listening, it is a lot. How do I unpackage this?
Step by step. It starts with knowing first, right? And being able to make decisions based on the information that you have. So it starts with knowing and getting the information together and being able to get a game plan for how to fix them.
Yeah.
And each of those little small things, you decide which gap you'd like to go for, and you can make small tweaks to make big changes in your profitability.
Absolutely. And if you're struggling with this, don't struggle. This is what we do. You know, feel free to raise your hand. You can reach out to us. You can send us an email at info@actdental.com. We have an amazing help team that will reach out to you and just learn more about your business. And if you're so inclined, if you've been doing this a long time, I know, you know, you're thinking, well, I don't need coaching. That's fine. One of the things we do is we do a practice assessment for $1,000. We will take this apart and we will tell you exactly what all of these gaps are. And it's done by our client support team. They're amazing. And so you'll speak to Dina, Gina, Courtney, and Lindsay in that whole process. So don't struggle. We're here to help you. And I'll kind of leave you with this. Like, these gaps are important, but they don't fix themselves, you know? You won't just get there by working harder. You have to proactively address them. And if you don't, they're going to continuously drain your profitability. So, and you don't need to be perfect with this. All you have to do is make one little change. You know, an important day for our clients is when they come here and there's red at the bottom. And then 1 month, there's green. And they're like, wow, we actually have money left over. And I'm like, that's just the starting point. So all you have to do is make progress. Sure. So Robin, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having me. It was always fun.
Always fun. Is that how you? I love it. You were amazing. Well, stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show podcast. I hope you enjoyed that. And please know, like, being an entrepreneur, it's not easy. Figuring this stuff out, it's not easy. Running business, it's not easy. But we do have tools back in the BPA where you can figure this out step by step. There's guidelines, there's worksheets, all that kind of stuff. And if you need help, we're here to help you every step of the way. Dentistry is an amazing profession. You just got to make some money and enjoy your life in that whole process. Better practice, better life is real. So we're going to keep bringing it if you guys keep showing up. So until we see you guys next time, or you hear from us next time, keep watching, keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.